This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Prove it, Putin. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, February 16, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Biden says word that Russia has pulled back some troops from the Ukraine border is welcome, but unverified.
A girl who's been missing for 2 years has been found alive underneath a staircase, living with her parents who had lost custody.
Gunmaker Remington will pay $73 million to families who lost loved ones in the Sandy Hook school shooting.
And Democrats pushing President Biden to embrace normalcy in his State of the Union.
Democratic governors have taken a lead on this. They've ended masking mandates and restrictions, and a lot of lawmakers are wanting Biden to do the same. They're hoping that this is a way for the president to sort of declare a victory.
Natalie Andrews at the Wall Street Journal on what fellow Democrats want from the president regarding COVID during his address in 13 days. President Biden says reports that some Russian forces had withdrawn from the Ukraine border were welcome, but they were unverified. In a nationally televised speech, Mr. Biden said the U.S. estimates that 150,000 Russian troops now encircle Ukraine, a higher number than previous estimates.
We have not yet verified the Russian military units are returning to their home bases. Indeed, our analysts indicate that they remain very much in a threatening position.
The president's threats of repercussions for Russia have yet to persuade Russian President Vladimir Putin to back down. Moscow is demanding that NATO not accept Ukraine as a member and stop any further eastward expansion. The speech came on a day that Ukraine said its defense ministry and two banks had been hit by a cyber attack and appeared to blame Russia. Mr. Biden had also warned Russia against engaging in cyber attacks. Meanwhile, the major U.S. stock indexes were all sharply higher on news that Russia had pulled back some troops. Legal memos filed in recent days in the case against a former lawyer for the 2016 Clinton campaign, Michael Sussman, reignited disputes over special counsel John Durham's continuing probe into the origins of the FBI's investigation into ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mr. Durham says his office would show at Mr. Sussman's trial that people affiliated with Donald Trump's Democratic opponent, Hillary Clinton, worked to exploit non-public internet traffic data they had access to, including from the White House, to establish a narrative tying Mr. Trump to Russia. The Wall Street Journal says the filing suggested the data included the early days of the Trump presidency. Mr. Sussman's lawyers called the allegations misleading and irrelevant and said the data predated Mr. Trump's inauguration.
Gordon. Thanks, Mike. The brief filed late Friday digressed into details that had not been raised in the indictment. Attorneys with the special counsel's office wrote that Rodney Jaffe, a cybersecurity consultant, exploited non-public White House data from his former company's pending government contract in order to find damning information about Mr. Trump. Police in Saugerties, New York, say a girl who was 4 years old when she was reported missing in 2019 has been found about 3 hours from her home. Authorities said they discovered Paisley Schultes under a staircase in a home with her non-custodial parents, who abducted her after losing custody. She was first reported missing from Cayuga Heights in New York 3 years ago. At the time, authorities believe she was taken by Kimberly Cooper and Kirk Schultes, her non-custodial parents. Both are charged with custodial interference and endangering the welfare of a child. Saugerties Police Chief Joseph Sinagra said they received a tip that a child was being held in a hidden location.
One of my detectives walked up and down those steps a number of times during the course of the search, and he said there was just something about the steps that was off.
Paisley Schultes was examined and determined to be in good physical health. She was then returned to her legal guardian and reunited with a sister. Police say they had been to the house where the child was found several times after she was reported missing while following other leads.
Dell Technologies President's Day business sale has arrived. For a limited time, save up to 45% on all our latest gear to work from anywhere with fast, free shipping. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, so now's the time for incredible savings on PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping and quick installation and setup through Dell Installation Services. Get started by shopping online or by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. The CEO of drug maker Moderna says it's reasonable to assume that we may be approaching the final stages of the pandemic. He told CNBC there's an 80% chance that as Omicron evolves or COVID evolves, we are going to see less and less virulent viruses. Meanwhile, some Democrats are pushing President Biden to use his planned State of the Union speech on March 1st to endorse a return to a sense of normalcy as COVID cases fall. It's a story by Natalie Andrews, congressional reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Natalie, what are you hearing?
Democrats, especially Democrats facing tough races in the fall, are really wanting Biden to take the State of the Union as a moment in which he will have millions of viewers and change his approach to COVID-19. They'd like to see the president come out with a powerful declaration, maybe not a victory of the virus, but of a return to a sense of normalcy and a declaration that we can move forward, that endless masking and closures and things like that are a part of the past. And they'd like to do that signifying like, hey, vaccines are available. There's a lot more solutions available out there than there was a year ago.
Yeah. I'm feeling pressure even from some fellow Democratic governors, I guess, right, who really have taken this approach.
Exactly. Democratic governors have taken a lead on this. They've ended masking mandates and restrictions, and a lot of lawmakers are wanting Biden to do the same. They're hoping that this is a way for the president to sort of declare a victory in the pandemic, even as cases are very high in a lot of areas of the country, because they feel like there needs to be a pivot on the administration's approach.
All right. So kind of with an eye out for last July, where the president was hoping to, as he said, declare independence from the virus, I guess, I mean, could he do something like show up to the State of the Union with no mask on and deliver the speech that way?
Yeah. As lawmakers are talking about the masking, especially as a visual of still being in a restricted state. Now, the president wears a mask. He wears a mask for his safety. The president doesn't want to get COVID. He is an older man who could be at risk, and certainly his health is important to maintain. So I've talked to some lawmakers who, you know, maybe the president does more shaking hands than he had. Maybe he doesn't, but this is definitely some Democrats want the president to look victorious over something. I talked to Dean Phillips from Minnesota, who said that this is the singular moment on which perhaps the entire presidency will be judged.
Wow. We're speaking with Natalie Andrews, congressional reporter at The Wall Street Journal, about her story called Some Democrats Push Biden to Embrace Normalcy as COVID Cases Ease. What about the mere presence of lawmakers in the chamber as he delivers his address?
This is one thing that Democrats definitely want to see more of. They'd like the president to have an audience. And I talked to some lawmakers who just like the symbolism of being able to clap and applaud for the president. They feel is important. They don't want the Democrats to really restrict themselves in the name of social distancing and then have House Republicans, Senate Republicans, who largely don't abide by a lot of the same rules and masks and social distancing in the Capitol. They don't want the Republican side to be full when the president comes to speak and the Democratic side to be sparse and for the president to not get the applause that they would like to give him.
Got it. What about kind of yielding to the CDC, right? Because I think the CDC would largely prefer that perhaps inside the chamber everybody wear masks.
This is kind of the pickle that President Biden is in. President Biden campaigned on listening to science, on defeating the virus, on listening to the guidelines to keep people safe. And The CDC has not been out front like the Democratic governors or things like that. The CDC is still advising masking and taking caution. And so President Biden, who campaigned on listening to science, is in this interesting space. For the State of the Union, the decision ultimately comes down to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who will be consulting both the White House and the Capitol's attending physician.
Thanks, Natalie. Natalie Andrews, congressional reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 19 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden says the U.S. is prepared to defend NATO members as the crisis on Ukraine's border with Russia intensifies.
Russia attacks the United States or our allies through asymmetric means, like disruptive cyber attacks against our companies or critical infrastructure. We are prepared to respond.
Biden reiterated U.S. commitment to Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. His address came as Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin traveled to Brussels to meet with NATO defense ministers and as Ukraine appeared to blame Russia for a cyber attack.
Number two.
Remington, a gun manufacturer that designed the rifle Sandy Hook Elementary school shooter Adam Lanza used to kill 26 people in Connecticut in 2012, has agreed to pay a $73 million settlement to victims' families. Veronica De La Rosa's 6-year-old son, Noah, was one of the children killed that day.
Today is a day of accountability for an industry that has thus far enjoyed operating with immunity and impunity.
The now bankrupt gun maker, which had initially offered families a $33 million settlement, also agreed to allow families to release documents showing how the manufacturer marketed the AR-15-style rifle in 2012.
Number three.
A Republican boycott is holding up a Senate committee vote on the appointment of a top banking regulator and Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. Senator Sherrod Brown, head of the Senate Banking Committee, said the panel could not hold a formal vote because the GOP absence meant a lack of a necessary quorum. The delay throws the confirmation of 5 Fed nominees, including Powell and would-be Vice Chair Lyle Brainard, into question. The CDC says mothers who get vaccinated against COVID while pregnant likely protect their babies from hospitalization due to the virus when they're born. Babies younger than 6 months old were 61% less likely to be hospitalized with COVID if their mothers received Pfizer or Moderna's 2-dose vaccine during pregnancy. Maternal vaccination later in pregnancy was associated with 80% protection. And a woman in the New York City area appears to have been cured of an HIV infection, joining a small group of people whose recovery is providing researchers with roadmaps to beat one of the most resilient viruses. The woman has shown no detectable signs of HIV and extensive testing following a stem cell transplant. The doctors say they consider her HIV to be in long-term remission, suggesting a cure if it holds.
How about that? Very good. Thank you, Jen. So I got to say, 2022 kind of feels like Groundhog Day. Wake up, read a headline about inflation, repeat, right? Inflation on the rise at the fastest pace in 40 years. But you don't need to check the price of organic eggs to know it's probably not the best time to put all your investment eggs in one basket. I'm talking about diversifying your portfolio. And thanks to today's sponsor, Masterworks, you can now add an exciting asset class to your portfolio, blue chip artwork. Masterworks is the new investing platform that lets everyone invest in contemporary art from icons like Picasso, Monet, and Warhol. In fact, early investors already have seen over 30% net annualized IRR in 2020 and 2021 from the sale of 2 paintings. No wonder the Wall Street Journal recently called the art market among the hottest markets on earth. Our listeners can join over 300,000 members and access their latest offerings at masterworks.art/Gordon. That's masterworks.art/Gordon. See important disclaimers at masterworks.io/disclaimer. Thanks for being with us. Many people who need the tax refund money the most are looking at even more delays than usual this tax season. A variety of factors could push tax refunds well into March or later for early filers, even though the IRS officially began processing tax returns January 24th. More from Susan Tompor, personal finance reporter at the Detroit Free Press. Susan, what should we know?
The important thing here is for people to understand one of the reasons we're writing this is because there were millions of tax refunds that were delayed last year, and they're in the pipeline, they're in the backlog. The IRS is going to be reassigning some of its workers to get through that backlog. Some of the backlog from last year was caused by mistakes on the recovery rebate credit. That credit is back on the tax return this year, and some of those same mistakes can be made. And what happens is the IRS is going to pull your refund aside, and you are going to be in limbo. Wow. So pull your return aside, and your refund is going to be in limbo for a long time. And that's because you've got to reconcile what you received on that stimulus. That's the third stimulus that came out around March, and some people received it over several times this year. With the third stimulus, it wasn't just one payment. The IRS actually did what they called plus-up payments. So it may be harder for you to reconcile what you're getting and what you got. So you have to take extra care in looking at your bank account information, as well as any letters that you're going to be getting from the IRS to tell you, you know, what you actually received. Same thing with the child tax credit. You have to reconcile that information.
We're speaking with Susan Tompor, personal finance reporter at the Detroit Free Press, part of the USA Today network. Her story is called "These Issues Could Delay Your Tax Refund in 2022. I thought it was interesting, too. You pointed out there's this child tax credit portal, right, which some people get pointed to. And then is it the IRS that says, don't use the child tax credit portal? What's happening
here?
Yeah,
it's kind of confusing. I spoke with an enrolled agent from New Mexico who pointed this out to me. So you can go to the portal to get information, but they're saying, the IRS is saying, do not use that portal for tax filing information. You actually need to open an online account and refer to these letters 6419. But the portal can help, get some information. The IRS says you can review your payments to ensure that maybe a payment wasn't returned. So in some cases, perhaps if you moved or changed a bank account, maybe that return payment was returned in December or November. And then you might request that the IRS trace the payment. So the portal can be useful in giving you information, but it's not the information you want to report on the 2021 tax return.
Wow.
Which is extremely confusing.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been covering this quite a while, most of the year, and I'll tell you, the first person to point this out was this enrolled agent, Amber Gray Fenner in New Mexico, where she had pointed out this detail. And what she said is backed up by what the IRS says online. That's exactly what the IRS is saying.
Okay.
Do not use the Child Tax Credit Update Portal for tax filing information.
Boy, it does seem like just going to be a lot more paper this year.
Yeah, a lot more paper, a lot more chances to get the numbers wrong. Again, the IRS is under a lot of pressure about some facial recognition issues.
Right.
The IRS is stepping back on that.
Thanks, Susan. Susan Tompor, personal finance reporter at the Detroit Free Press, part of the USA Today network. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well. At Gordon Deal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We all have a lot going on. The last thing we need is to spend too much energy choosing what to wear. But if you have a closet full of Cuts clothing, it's easy. Throw on anything and you'll look good. How do they do it? Every Cuts shirt is designed for a modern, tailored fit. They're insanely comfortable. I can't believe how soft their shirts feel. Between the fabric and the fit, they're the most comfortable shirts I've ever worn. Plus, Cuts has all the essentials for looking sharp, like tees, hoodies, polos, and more. And they reinvented them all, from how they're cut to the revolutionary fabrics they use. They won't shrink, pill, or fade over time in the wash. Mine still look and feel great. Try them for yourself and save. Join hundreds of thousands of guys who've made the simple decision to elevate their wardrobe with Cuts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, February 16. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Biden says the U.S. has not verified whether some Russian troops are pulling back from the Ukraine border. Another wintry mix the next couple of days will stretch from Texas to New England. Prince Andrew settles a sex abuse lawsuit filed by one of Jeffrey Epstein's most prominent accusers. If you work for Facebook parent Meta, Mark Zuckerberg now considers you a Meta mate. Super Bowl parade and rally for the Rams today. And the man hosting pancake parties to meet people in San Francisco. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The Texas Attorney General has filed a suit against Facebook parent Meta Platforms, charging that its longstanding and now discontinued use of facial recognition technology violated that state's privacy protections for personal biometric data. The lawsuit, filed in state district court in Marshall by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, seeks civil penalties in the hundreds of billions of dollars. Analysis from Adam Ruzzieri, co-founder and chief marketing officer of Agency Partner Interactive in Dallas. Adam, take us through it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have friends that support you as well. Texas and so many other states over the past few years have really just been more knowledgeable and mindful of the fact that Facebook has been using user data in ways that, frankly, most of us could just never even imagine. And looking back to just last year, there was a $650 million settlement from Illinois over the same exact stuff. So, you know, it's kind of funny to now sit here and literally hear Facebook, or we'll say Meta's attorneys now, say this suit is totally without merit, because in the past we've already seen them bend the knee for claims exactly like this. The timing is interesting, you know, and if Ken Paxton, the Texas Attorney General, hadn't been so consistently critical of big tech, I would say he's just doing this now because he's running up against some other GOP politicians for the same seat. But so, you know, I don't think that this has a whole lot to do with his fear or with the race, with the midterms here. I think he's really just kind of standing up for, I think, what the Texas public wants to see. And that's really a lot less big tech and a lot more control over who has our data and what they do with it.
What is the law that the Attorney General Ken Paxton says Facebook or Meta has been violating?
Yeah, so basically what he's saying here is Facebook or Meta has been illegally capturing the facial geometry of its users in photographs. And basically they've been doing this since 2010. Meta announced in November of 2021, just last year, that they were going to stop doing this. But, you know, if you committed a murder last year, you're still going to be able to be held liable for that, right? So just because Facebook is stopping this now doesn't necessarily mean that they're off the hook. And what Texas is saying companies must obtain, and this is important, informed consent from people to use their biometric data. So when you think about all those spam emails you get in your inbox, there are ways for advertisers to get more of an informed consent than just assuming that you're okay getting commercial advertising. So informed consent, you're actually aware that you're consenting to this company, allowing them to collect your data, collect your retina scans, your fingerprints, all of that stuff. In the past, Facebook, it had about 1 billion of its users that were opted into this kind of facial recognition tracking. And in this case, Texas is saying, well, just because these people were opted into it doesn't necessarily mean that they knew that they were opted into it.
Well, that, I guess that to a certain extent, that's their fault, right? They didn't read the fine print when they signed up.
Sure.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, you can assume that, right? But, you know, if we're all being honest here and we think about the last time we updated the software to our mobile device, you know, you have so many different lines of fine print that you consent to and you don't really read it. You just consent to it because you don't really have another option. You just have to do it, or you don't get to use the updated operating system on your phone. That might actually render your phone worthless. You know, in this case, it's people, to your point, being largely ignorant to the fine print here. But when you're talking about children, when you're talking about younger users, when you're talking about people who are really just kind of living their lives, assuming that the company has their best interest at hand, it's just not always the case.
We're speaking with Adam Ruggieri, digital marketer, co-founder, chief marketing officer of Agency Partner Interactive in Dallas. We're talking about this Texas lawsuit versus Meta, formerly known as Facebook, or the parent of Facebook. So in this lawsuit, I guess, Texas represents the profit that Facebook has been secretly harvesting. What is that a reference to? What is secretly harvesting and making data, profit from this data?
Right. So basically secretly harvesting all of this user data to basically use that for advertising purposes. You know, Facebook has to be competitive against Google. Facebook has to be competitive against all of the other ways that businesses might choose to advertise. And so they're saying here that Facebook has literally been harvesting all of this data, translating that into meaningful insights that marketers use to make a buck or two. And so they're saying that Facebook has been doing this to generate profit through their ad business. You know, in the fourth quarter, and we just recently saw huge, huge degradation to Facebook's overall value. You know, Meta dropped $230 billion in almost a day. And that was just right after they announced that they lost 1 million users in Q4, which really has never happened before. So Facebook as a company has to prove that there's still value for businesses to choose them as a point to advertise. Facebook, to do that, has to show growth in users. Facebook also has to show that it knows who its users are and what might compel them towards certain purchase decisions.
Thanks, Adam. Adam Ruggieri from Agency Partner Interactive. Meanwhile, Facebook parent Meta has agreed to pay $90 million to settle a decade-old class action lawsuit over a practice that allowed the social network to track users' activity across the internet, even if they had logged out of the platform.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into a Wednesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's been a whiplash weather week for folks in the Northeast with relatively balmy temperatures, followed by snow and bitter cold, and now another warm-up on the way. So you can't totally blame a Massachusetts man for a big mistake he made that left the inside of his car a winter wonderland. Steve McGuire says he and his family took a ride in the wife's minivan on Saturday with the windows down to enjoy the record-high temperatures in New England. McGuire said he didn't realize until returning to his vehicle on Monday that he had left the sunroof open, allowing about 9 inches of snow to accumulate inside. Jeez. The situation looked so bad he was afraid to break the news to his wife, especially on Valentine's Day. Thankfully, he says the light and fluffy snow was easy to clean up. McGuire was also embarrassed because he's a high school teacher who, among other things, teaches meteorology. So if anyone should be on top of the weather, it should be him.
Yikes.
Nine inches. Oops. We're not talking an inch or two here. You're getting too close to a foot at that point.
Maybe it was so cold that it was just easy to just sweep right out or use like a leaf blower to blow out the door.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. I think he says it was light and fluffy and very cold. So yeah, I guess not a lot of it melted. So you might be a little damp for a couple of days, and it's going to warm up again this week. So maybe he can leave the sunroof open again and maybe get it to dry out. We'll see.
Ouch.
And we know record numbers of people wagered money on the Super Bowl. Few as notable as Mattress Mack, the Houston area furniture store owner known for making monster bets on big sporting events in recent years. But this turned out to be a tough Super Sunday for Jim McInvale, who lost millions on the big game when the Rams held on for the victory. Fox Business says McInvale wagered a total of $9.5 million on the Bengals to win. He stood to make just over $16 million if he won, which he would have used to reimburse customers who had spent $3,000 or more on a mattress during a recent promotion. They won't be getting that money back now, but despite the big loss, don't cry for Mac just yet, since the promotion reportedly brought in $20 million in revenue, with sales surging 250% over a two-week period, which is why Mac refers to his frequent and large bets as a marketing concept and not gambling.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's consistent. He does it just about every year, right?
Right.
With something.
Yeah. I mean, he promises he's going to, give all these people their money back, which, of course, he already got from winning on the big bet that he made. So he's not really losing money there either. So it's a pretty smart thing that he's doing. I'm surprised more people don't do it.
And he did it with the Astros several years ago, right? Didn't he jump on the Houston bandwagon?
Yeah.
He
started with Houston area teams.
That's what
and
I
now
thought,
he's, now
yeah.
he seems to be branching out to, since it's gone so well, branching out to all the big events.
Good for him. All right. Thank you, Mike. The way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but security tools for the most part have stayed the same. Between your photos, finances, devices, and connections, your world is more online than ever. Aura provides complete digital security all in one easy-to-use app. Aura protects you from the worst of the internet so you can still enjoy the best of it with digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal info, and tech safe from threats. It gives me peace of mind to know Aura protects me from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more with one simple subscription. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support is ready to help. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. That's A-U-R-A, aura.com/Gordon. Aura, the new standard in digital security.
Thanks for spending time with us. Who says you have to pay $1,000 or even $700 to get a really good smartphone, like a new Samsung or iPhone? USA Today says you have plenty of options that might not offer the latest and greatest features or operate at the quickest of speeds, but get the job done on basics like email, social media, surfing the web. Smartphone maker Blue has a few Android smartphones under $100, including the Blue Vivo X6. The current price from Walmart is $84.95, though it's currently sold out. It features a 6.1-inch curved glass display, a 13-megapixel camera on the front and back of the phone, and 64 gigabytes of storage. Motorola has a couple of options in its Moto line that fall under $150. For example, the Moto G Pure is available for $140, 6.5-inch HD screen, 13-megapixel camera, 32 gigabytes of storage. Motorola also claims the battery supports rapid charging and can last up to 2 days. Next hour, we'll look at smartphones for $200 and $300. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenko.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Russia made two overtures to ease tensions around Ukraine, reporting a pullback of troops near its neighbor and welcoming talks of the West. But the U.S. and its allies say they need evidence of the troop movements, and the threat of a Russian invasion still looms. President Biden spoke yesterday from the White House.
To the citizens of Russia, you are not our enemy. And I do not believe you want a bloody, destructive war against Ukraine, a country and a people with whom you share such deep ties of family, history, and culture.
Biden promised the U.S. would give diplomacy every chance, but he struck a skeptical tone about Moscow's intentions.
Number two.
A large-scale storm will make life wet and miserable for the central, southern, and eastern U.S. today through Friday. Heavy snow, a wintry mix, drenching rains, and possible flooding and severe thunderstorms with possible tornadoes are all on tap. Potentially dangerous travel is possible in Kansas City, St. Louis, and Chicago, where up to half a foot of snow is possible.
Number three.
Four teenagers and four adults returning from a hunting trip. All North Carolina residents were on board that small plane that crashed off the coast of North Carolina on Sunday. Divers found the plane's fuselage and cabin in the Atlantic Ocean about 3 miles from shore. The aviation equipment may help investigators determine the cause of the crash. More than 2 years after she disappeared, a six-year-old girl was found stashed under the staircase of a home in eastern New York. The case broke Monday night when a detective pried open the staircase and found Paisley Schultes in a small secret room where she was hiding with her biological non-custodial mother. Saugerties police arrested Paisley's biological parents, who did not have custody of her and had been suspected of abducting her. Paisley was in good health and released to her legal guardian. Good news for those of us who drive to work in the middle of the night. Highway safety regulators are about to allow new high-tech headlights that can automatically tailor beams, though they focus on dark areas of the road and don't create glare for oncoming drivers. The adaptive driving beam headlights, commonly used in Europe, have LED lamps that can focus beams on darkness and also lower the intensity of the light beams if there's oncoming traffic.
I get to use them.
Yes.
I just feel mine are, right now, either angled incorrectly or the beam is not strong enough. I don't know what it is.
Could be.
Thank you, Jen.
Dell Technologies President's Day business sale has arrived. For a limited time, save up to 45% on all our latest gear to work from anywhere with fast, free shipping. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, so now's the time for incredible savings on PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping and quick installation and setup through Dell Installation Services. Get started by shopping online or by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you're with us. A San Francisco man has found a clever way to respond to a mild insult from his wife, who said he was getting weird. 43-year-old Curtis Kimball is hosting pancake parties on the driveway of his home. This one this past Saturday was the second such event. The Washington Post says the first was launched in late January with flyers on telephone poles in his neighborhood. On sheets of paper, he typed, "My wife says I need to make friends, so I'm making pancakes." Given the pandemic lockdowns, he says it's been difficult to meet people. After moving there about a year ago with his wife and two daughters, he provided an address, a time, and other details and added, "Come by and say hi and have some pancakes with me." About 100 neighbors showed up for the first one January 22nd. 300 were there on Saturday with stuff to share like coffee and homemade honey. Turns out, like Mr. Kimball, they were hungry for more than just breakfast. They were craving connection and togetherness. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.